I'd be grateful for your prayers. And the courtesy of your attention again this morning. I have some Bible to read to you. I have a Mother's Day message. But it's from a little different perspective than I've ever had before. The Lord's been talking to me this week about the 68th Psalm. If you got your Bible, I invite you to turn over there and take a look at it with me. It's 32 verses, so I don't propose to read it all to you. Just pick out a few as we go along. Many people have described the virtues and benefits that mothers have brought into their lives in better language than I can. I propose to approach the topic this morning from the plan that God made. It was a perfect plan. For instance, when God first created man, the scripture tells us that everything the Lord created of animal life was created man and male and female. But the scripture makes a point to comment that it was not so initially with man. That's not just an oversight or an accident on God's part. I'm convinced that the Lord did that in order to give a man time enough to realize he needed something more, so that when he gave a man his wife, along with the other things that he did to show how valuable and important she was to be to him, taking her from his own side and creating him, unlike the man had been made, created from the dirt, he'd made the woman from the man. He wanted that man to treasure her as something valuable, delicate, beautiful, precious. The woman never knew life without the man, but the man knew what it was like to live without the woman, with no means to get one. And I think it's still that way today. The Lord wants women to have a special place in life. In my understanding, the 68th Psalm bears that out. The 68th Psalm is a very profound description of God's church, his plan for bringing happiness and blessing to humankind in the world. And it has some very strong language in it. It's forcefully put. The ancient ideas that have been had about it are that probably David wrote this psalm, and he wrote it about the time that the ark was being brought back from the land of the Philistines to a place where the place of worship was among the people of God. And it is supposed to have been composed in connection with victory of Israel in battle. If you read the history of Israel, it's amazing. One of the smallest nations in the world, and great nations all around them. Some seem sometimes like all they wanted to do is destroy Israel, all of them. Israel didn't commonly pick fights with anybody, but they all wanted to destroy Israel. It's still a little bit that way today, isn't it? Over there by itself and so forth. Well, Israel won many of those battles. And presumably this psalm was written in connection with some of that. I like to put it on the board in a little bit of an illustration. I'm very poor at illustrations, but maybe that'll show you can get the idea. If you can picture, my circle is about 3 or 4 inches wide because it's very dark. It's very big. And this is, in the 68th Psalm, an emblem of God's protection of his church and of his people. The only thing that has ever made God's church able to survive in the world, indeed the only reason it has to survive and the only reason it needs to survive is the protection of the Lord. Psalm 68 says, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away as wax melteth before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. Well, in our New Testament dispensation, we're not really so interested in seeing anybody perish, but we like to see a lot of wicked ways perish, people get caught in. And that's really the essence of what this is talking about. And if I could make it a little darker, I'll try. The scripture says here that God will show himself to his people in the name of Yah, J-A-H. Yah is the root of Jehovah. It is a word so sacred that the Hebrews simply refused to say it. They just thought it was too holy to be spoken by people, only in the most holy context. And it means all the names of God. God is Jehovah Jireh, the God of all provision. He's the God of all supplication. He's the God of all protection and defense. He's the God of all wisdom. He's the God of all love. All of that is encompassed in this one word, J-A-H. He's the I Am. There's never any awareness or cognizance of any presence any greater than this. When the crowd came to take Jesus, and they said to him, are you he? And he said, I am. Just those two words. And they fell backwards to the ground. There is nothing greater than the force of Yah. And this scripture is telling us that all of that, everything that God is concentrated in providing a place for people, souls, you and me. The plan that he created for his world, having been a perfect plan, he is able to keep that which is within it secure. And he is able to prevent anything from entering into that that is in any sense less than he'd have it to be. That's the first concept that's involved in the 68th Psalm. And then beyond that, we'll take time to demonstrate it all in the scriptures. And here is another circle. And this circle has to do, if I could put it this way, with a commitment of strong people. God's had some strong people through the years. There's no such thing as giving everything to the Lord and then him not being able to protect it. Daniel proved that. Joseph proved that. Paul proved that. Silas proved that. It's been done all through the centuries, over and over. It's safe, folks. It's safe to give our lives to the Lord and to live within this shelter that the Lord has provided for us. And this wall, barrier, it's called a wall of salvation in the 68th Psalm. It's called the Lord himself. This wall is a cooperative wall. The Lord didn't only want to prevent evil and find a way to bless people, but he wanted you and me to be the means by which he does that. We have a part in his plan. He's able to carry it out by himself. But love is not complete unless it passes between two. And he created you and me to give everything to him and to love him back freely. When we're willing to do so, he undertakes our defense. And he actively uses the life that we give to him to be the means of making all of this, the wall and this in here, to be what it is. And then inside that, there's something else. It's at the center. It's the most protected place. And it's the most special place. See, all of us have needs in life. We need to be innocent. Sin's corrosive. Sin destroys. You and I are not emotionally constituted to bear sin. You know, I tell the folks here often, being bitter towards someone's like drinking poison, hoping it'll make your enemy sick. That's what I mean. If you're bitter, you hurt yourself. If you hate, you hurt yourself. If you steal, you hurt yourself. We're not emotionally constituted to live with sin. We were made to be innocent, etc. Well, in here is the place where these things happen. Where souls come right. Where troubles are removed from the spirit. Oh, the world is full of trouble. I mean, people get sick. Sometimes don't have as much money or as land or other things they'd like to have. But the trouble of the soul, that's the worst of all. And here is a place that the Lord has made, protected by His great power, to bring people who have been battered and hurt and wounded by all the things that are out here, and free them from that, and bring them into something innocent and clean and pure, to soothe and comfort and sustain the wounded spirit by the great plan that He made for His world. That it involves a man and a wife, a father and a mother, a family living together. Family was put in people, each one of us, before we were born. The characteristics, the gifts, could I say the gifts that make us what we are? They're put in us before we're born. Our gender was decided before we're born, and our gender determines what our life is going to be in many respects, because with each gender, the Lord gave certain characteristics or traits that were put there to make life beautiful, to make this world what He wants it to be, to even after Adam and Eve had done what they did, it is within these things that the Lord uses, powerfully protected by His Spirit, to make life full and satisfying, to bring out what we were intended to be, father and mother. That's what the 68th Psalm is teaching, is His plan. Let me read some of it to you that confirms these things. The fourth verse says, sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name Yah, and rejoice before Him. And this is a description of the manner in which the Lord intends to prevail, to protect these things. There are many forces in the world today to hurt the virtue of feminine graces, to pervert them, to destroy them. Many forces in the world to do that. It's still safe to trust the Lord. He is greater than all of them. It's been done in countless ways all through the centuries. It will never prevail. It will never prevail. God's way is right, folks. Because listen to what the Scripture says He is. He is a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I don't propose to talk about the rebellious, but I want to talk about the fatherless and the widows. God in His holy habitation setteth the solitary in families. You see, all of this protection, each has its important place, but it points towards something right here in the middle. God is a comfort. And salvation is a comfort. His invisible presence has a way of filling the still hours, the lonely times. He can provide a consolation and no other can. But His plan is not complete, working only through Himself. It is also His plan, surrounded by His divine wall of protection, to use the characteristics that He put in us, the gender-specific characteristics, to help those who are most in need of help in life. God is a father to the fatherless. But His way of being a father to the fatherless, to folks who've been hurt and disappointed in life, is to bring them in association with holy people who know how to be fathers and mothers. It does something to folks to have somebody finally care for you and show interest in you and understand your heart and be willing to try to help you. Nobody could ever do that better than God's people do. Salvation clears our sight and understanding and makes us able to know how to help those we love. God setteth the solitary in families. Now think about that. How many solitary people do you know in the world today? Just in our own experience around us, people from broken homes, broken lives, broken families, full of loneliness. This is a lonely world, folks. So many people don't have a friend, don't know where to find someone who loves them. God's answer is to put these kind of people in families. His church is a family. He means it that way because their people properly develop, it's Mother's Day, the feminine traits, then make it home. Then make it special. You can't have a home without a mother. My wife has walked into apartments with me sometimes that were owned by bachelors and take one look around and say, this man lives by himself. They don't have the capability. I don't have it. If something happened to Roberta in my house, the best thing I could do is leave it just like it is right now, because there's nothing I could do that would make it any better. Because I lack that touch that God gave. She makes it a home. She makes it a home. This is God's plan, folks. Right in the center. The most comforting place of all. Because they're soft. They have feelings. They're gentle. Armies exist to protect that. That's what the United States military is for. You know? So that we civilians, who are not skilled in the military, who carry out other pursuits in life, we build a nation. They protect us while we do it. God protects. We build a home. Mothers build a home. They make it a place for the fatherless to come. They make it a place for the solitary to come. They make it a place for people who are in chains of heartbreak and disappointment, chains of vices, chains of bad habits. Among God's people is a place where all of those things can be broken, where there's deliverance. It's strong language. That's His plan. And the way He does that, it's not by force. I've seen folks get over alcoholism. I've known some. Go 10 years without taking a drink. Locked up in prison and couldn't get it. That's not God's way. He's got something better than that for us. He replaces the hurt with love within this sacred sanctuary. It's beautiful. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which were bound with chains. Or let me look down farther in this. In the 12th verse, kings of armies did flee apace. Now that's talking about out here. It's talking about the forces the devil allies to try to make this break down. Because you see, the devil hates human happiness. He hates innocent souls. He hates people loving their children, loving one another, being near and helping one. He hates all that. And he finds many different ways to attack it. We have a defender, and he will protect. But then the scripture goes on beyond that, and it speaks about these people who are in here. If I could say the delicate ones, the nurturers. And this is what he says concerning them. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Because God put that protection around. Oh, you can hear the clash sometimes of the armies at war. You can hear the sounds that the devil makes with all that's going on in the world. Be glamorous. Be exciting. Be carnal. You can hear the sounds of that. And it's going on. But you're protected if you live for the Lord. There's a sacred place. There's a holy place. And you'll divide the spoils. You know what that means? It means when the enemy's beaten, everything that he brought up there with which to do the beating, he'll leave it behind. And you have the benefit of that. Powerful scriptures here. Though ye have lion among the pots, Yet shall ye be as the wings of dove, covered with gold, with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Isn't that something? The old devil make it look like just being a housewife. That's about as low as you can get. Washing dishes. Washing clothes. Doing laundry. Well, the scripture said there are some folks that are exempt from what's going on out there in that outer wall. God's taking care of that. The ones that stayed at home and cooked the food made the house smell good. When the fighting people came home, there's dinner there to meet them. Not everybody's in those places where they have to take the brunt of life. God didn't want everybody to be there. No, but he gave a special place. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. A dove is a bird of peace, but this is a special kind of one. This is one that's been given a profound blessing from the Lord. Solomon put it this way, and I'm sure it's being read a lot this morning. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies. That's what this is talking about. Any woman can be a dove, but to be a woman that's been coated with silver, that makes it precious, doesn't it? That's special. This all takes place because of the protection and the defense. And all of it is just as essential as it can be because that's where the comfort is. God's got a comfort. There is a blessing in the invisible salvation. But that's not the only blessing. God intended another blessing through every person. But in thinking this morning of the sisters in whom he put the feminine traits, if they will allow him to develop those traits, they provide a special kind of comfort and blessing that can be found in no other place. I'm minded of Jesus when he went out on the first evangelistic tour that we have a record of in the history of the world. He had the very same problems to face that every traveling minister has always had to face. Where am I going to sleep? What am I going to eat? How are we going to provide the necessary things of life? Who will mend my clothes when they get torn? The scripture tells us about the women who went with him in his group and ministered to him of their substance. And I don't take that only to mean the money that they had. No, it's that quick feminine intuition to see where the need is and to know just the right touch, how to comfort and meet what the need was. So they went with the Lord. I remarked to you also that Jesus was bitterly hated by his enemies. He was accused of the most preposterous kinds of things, but in all of his ministry, no man ever accused the Lord Jesus of any inappropriate behavior with another man's wife. And that's what it's like to live in this sacred place. It's a place where the beautiful flower the Lord intended the sisters to be can fully blossom and develop. That's his plan, that it be so. And when it happens, they're like the wings of a dove covered with silver and her feathers with yellow gold. Now read these things, it makes me think of the cherubim that stood in the Holy of Holies. Because they too, being 12 feet high, two angels facing one another with the Ark of the Covenant in between, made of wood and overlaid with pure gold. But I think that's a fitting description of a godly mother, don't you? Of a godly sister who allows the Lord to develop the feminine traits that the Lord put within her. I skip down now to the 25th verse. The singers went before. The players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Damsels are the young women. Women in any society are no safer than men will allow them to be. But there is a place in God's church where even the young women, naive perhaps, innocent, innocence a better word than naive, pure in heart and thought, rejoice, safe, free. Our little city of Neosho, I know there are predators there, but I haven't read about anything like that in a long time. And I drive down the streets and I see the park and I see young women walking in the park and it makes me feel good because it feels safe. There are places where you wouldn't do that. You just wouldn't. Oh, folks, God's church is a safe place. It's a safe place where these things are protected and taught, and where they have a chance and opportunity to develop. It's the Lord's plan to make it so. I'm not going to say more about what the traits of motherhood are. I'll just say this one thing to you on Mother's Day. Show her some special kindness. Give your mother a hug. I wish I could hug mine. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning.